Shalom and welcome to the Word of His Grace, the radio broadcast of Reverend and Reverend Mrs. Reginald and Rita Adanivo, Senior Pastors of Green Pastures Ministries. We pray that the message you are about to receive will be a blessing to you and make an eternal impact on your life. God richly bless you. Nobody greater than
This message is a continuation of what was preached yesterday.
If this man were a prophet,
he
will know who this woman is. And
he
will know what kind of woman she is. Who is touching him? Because she is a sinner. These are people who have been condemned by others. But they can also be saved. These are people who sometimes we put in a particular category. Because of this person, she's through some way. And sometimes we do it even in the house of God. It is not just with unbelievers. But somebody who is some way. Maybe the person's character, the way the person is, if we are not careful, it's like as for this woman, she's this way. As for this man, he is like this.
What he say?
So when we see him, we will greet some way. But Jesus,
yes, Christo,
is somebody who accepted everybody because he knew that there is nobody who is
unredeemable.
There is nobody who cannot be saved. In fact, I don't know if it's the next verse, but I think when you look at the next verse, Jesus answered his thoughts.
Yes, Christo, yes.
The Bible said he said it to himself. He
was in his mind.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, I have something to teach you.
Was it Simon? And
then Jesus taught him a lesson. That you don't just look on the outside and condemn people. Because me, when I came, you treated me like an ordinary person. But this woman has shown that I am a special person. And her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And he looked at the woman and he said, your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine how the woman felt? I came in here
as a sinner.
Everybody condemning me. I was even feeling bad coming. But I still said, let me come. Let me come and express my love to this Jesus. Let me also come and worship him. And she left with her sin forgiven. It doesn't matter how much society condemns a particular person. In our neighborhood, in our workplace, we need to know that even such people can be saved. So we need to share the gospel with them also. Look at your neighbor and say, share the gospel with them also. Share the gospel with them also. Amen.
Amen.
So there are people in society that are condemned. Like the woman caught in adultery.
In John chapter 8.
This self-righteous Pharisee. Caught her and dragged her and brought her. And they were standing there. Those who had pockets were standing
pocketed and were just waiting.
This woman, she was caught in adultery. She should be stoned. Hey, also. They were very sure that Jesus would say, you know the law already. Take
her
and go and stone her. Do the right thing. But to their surprise, Jesus didn't do that. In fact, he ignored them. And then after a while, he said, whosoever of you has not sinned,
take a stone.
And these self-righteous people, they came feeling very justified, holy, righteous. We have brought a sinner. By the time Jesus finished speaking, all of a sudden, they realized that, hey, maybe we are the greater sinners. This person remembered what he had done last week. This one remembered what he did yesterday.
And the Bible says,
from the eldest or the oldest to the youngest, they all dropped their stones. And then they left. And then Jesus asked them, has nobody condemned you? Where are your accusers? And then Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. God is looking for people like this, who are steeped in sin. The whole society looks down on them. People call them sinner, even behind their back.
Can be saved.
Jesus wants us to share the gospel with such people. Sometimes we may have to go and look for them in some corner and share the gospel with them and let them know that Jesus is not condemning you. He's saying, come to me and you will be saved and your sins will be forgiven. Can somebody say amen? So there are those who condemn themselves. They feel they are not worthy. They can be saved. We should share the gospel with them. There are those who are condemned by others, and it looks as if they can't be saved. They can be saved. And we share the gospel with them also. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
We've talked about some boy who used to be in our neighborhood. The boy looked like he couldn't be saved. His attitude, his behavior, and all that. But when daddy and I captured him and shared the gospel with him over and over,
what the man like what the man
of, sorry, like what some of our brethren have been doing. Go to the person's house. We are coming for you.
The person
passed the back door. And by the time you step into the hall, there's nobody in the house. It's for the person's own good, but they don't know. Because they don't know, we keep going. Because they don't know it's for their good, we keep going. And so we kept going until that day that boy gave his life to Jesus. And the next time we saw him, he was a shepherd getting ready to be a pastor in a particular church. But that is how it is. We don't put it. You don't look at the person and say, oh, this one is a difficult one to handle. You'll be
surprised.
There is none who cannot be saved. Then there are those who deceive themselves that they are okay. They don't need to be saved. When I look at my life, from childhood, I've been going to church. I do what I'm supposed to do. I am a good person. You see, I have said that there is nobody who cannot be saved. But in another sense, there are some people who cannot be saved because they have made themselves unredeemable. And the first group of such people is those who feel that they are okay. They don't need a savior. They have virtually made themselves unredeemable. Because such people, they are not even ready to hear the gospel. I'm okay. You who are sharing the gospel with me. How many times do you fast a week?
Now what you say? Oh, Ebia now cockroach. Where did he? Now what should we?
And the person says, "Look at me."
See, hear me.
I fasted on Monday.
Wednesday.
Friday. Today is Saturday.
And
you have to share the gospel with me. I don't think I need a savior. I'm okay.
What's it mean?
So such people are the ones who have made themselves unredeemable.
How many times have you read the Bible? So mankind. I was saying, me, I want to make a say, my kind imprints. I want to scriptures in what you do.
They feel that, and an example of such a person is the Pharisee who went to pray. So Jesus was talking about these two groups of people. We talked about the tax collector earlier on. He was condemning himself. He felt he was unworthy. He couldn't even come close. He bent his head.
And
said, Lord, have mercy on me. But this Pharisee. Luke 18:11-12. The Bible says the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's the King James.
King James is saying, empire no.
Thus with himself.
On one and then home empire.
God. I thank you that I am not like other men.
That was the same me for a sin.
Extortionists.
I am not like other men.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
then he concluded by saying, even as this tax collector,
this one who has bent his head, I am not like that.
Then in verse 12, he said, I fast twice a week.
Lord Christ,
you can see me. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. But the Bible says, the tax collector went home more justified than the other who believed that he was okay. So when people feel that they are okay, it's a difficult situation to, you know, it's more difficult than the person who has condemned himself and the one who others have condemned. He feels that he's okay. They don't see any need to repent. What have I done? I don't chase women. Like you go and share the gospel, and that's what some people tell you. I don't chase women. I don't drink. I don't smoke. And then they feel that they are okay. Such people need a lot of prayer. So God opens their eyes. Then they realize that I am a sinner. And I need a savior. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
The second group of people who are unredeemable are the devil and his cohorts or his demons. They cannot be redeemed. They cannot be saved. Because they made a definite choice to rebel against God. And they are eternally committed to doing evil. The devil and his demons cannot repent Because they don't have a conscience anymore. They cannot repent. But we know that repentance is prerequisite, you know, or something that you need to do before you can be saved. But they can't repent. They sold out themselves to save. They sold out themselves their conscience. So the devil cannot come to a point where you say that, yeah,
because
he has sold himself eternally to sin.
So
they are unredeemable. And there are some also who have sold themselves to the devil. I heard a man of God, a father in Nigeria, sharing about a particular man who had sold his soul to the devil and was serving the devil. So when you are preaching to him, he will tell you, I can't be saved.
I can't repent.
He shed the God. Until one day he died. But there are people like that. But the people we see around us. Oh, most of them, they can be saved. And so let's share the word of God with them. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Jesus brought salvation to all kinds of people. Even the worst of sinners. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Paul said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Jesus came to save sinners. That is why he came. And then he left the work for us to share the gospel, so that they'll be saved. And Paul is saying that even I, who consider myself the chief of sinners, because I persecuted the church, because of the wicked things I did to Christians, even me, I have been saved. Jesus came to save the worst of sinners. I remember on campus, the people we considered the worst of sinners in
God's
were in a particular hall.
Now our hall be
a particular boys' hall.
Mama hall be.
And they were always misbehaving.
They
would take some things and be playing. The whole campus can be very quiet. Those days were not many. Like we had just six halls.
Now we
were all in the
halls.
So in the quiet of the night, then you hear all kinds of profane songs that if you're a believer, cover your head so you don't hear what they are saying. But when a revival hits the campus,
and can I be
some of those boys
were
the first to come and surrender their life to Jesus. Jesus came to save
the worst
of sinners. Simon the sorcerer. The wizard in Acts chapter
8.
I believe that eventually he got saved. When you look in Acts chapter
8,
from verse
5,
the Bible says Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ to them. Verse
9.
But there was a certain man. Somebody say a certain man. There are people who are certain men. They can also be saved. Called Simon, who had practiced sorcery or witchcraft in the city and astonished the people of Samaria. claiming that he was someone great. And the Bible says he bedazzled the people so much.
His
nickname was the great power of God. Because of the witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic, and the amazing things he used to do. But when the Bible tells us that Philip came to Samaria,
Philip Osaba Samaria,
in verse 13, the Bible says,
Samaria, no.
Then Simon himself also
believed.
But look at what the scripture said. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. And was amazed.
Now
seeing the miracles and signs which were done. That is the thing that was catching his attention. Because of his background. Because of the things he used to do, the supposed miracles and signs he used to do as a witch.
In Kenya, no, yeah, was there be a baby born something? Tina, when they need his animal,
he looked at what Philip was doing.
She didn't have Philip for
you. He said that, hey, this one is even more than what I was doing. Oh,
where your brother? Now me any so.
So even though the Bible says he believed,
she said something. What did he?
And he was baptized.
Now we're born a study.
His motive.
There
was a problem with it. All his eyes were on there. Wow.
Wow.
So he was not thinking about how, hey, I'm now born again. How can I live for Christ?
How can I serve this?
His mind was on the power things he was
seeing.
To the extent that the Bible now said, after Peter and John had come and prayed for the people to receive Holy Ghost baptism, he looked at what was happening. Put the hand. Hey, shut up. The pastor's praying in tongues and prophesying.
No,
he said, ah, me when I lay hands on people, nothing has happened. No, there's some power here. The Bible said he went to them and said, give me this gift, whatever it is, and take this money so that me too. You see, I don't want to lose my position among the people. So give this to me. Take this money so that me too, when I lay hands on people,
Yes.
Simon has not lost his
power.
But Peter looked at him and said, your money perish with you. Hallelujah. Then Peter in verse 22 said, repent therefore
was such a
of this your wickedness.
Every
and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart is
forgiving
you. Then look at verse 24. Then Simon answered and
said,
pray to the Lord for me.
And
none of those things which you have spoken may come upon me. I believe that at that point Simon was now repenting.
Now Simon, he realized
that, hey,
wrong choice. He suddenly realized it.
And I believe that at that point he repented. Witches can repent. The worst of sinners can repent. People from all kinds of background can repent. Sometimes people come with wrong motives. Like Simon had the wrong motive.
I
also received the power. Some people come to church with all kinds of minds. Some followed a girlfriend into the church. If I don't start coming to church, the girl will never say, will never agree. So they follow the girl to church with the wrong motive.
Wa fa Bible.
And then they come and sit down. But it's all because of the girl. But even such people, with the wrong motive, they came in with the wrong motive. When the gospel is being shared, when the word is going on, all of a sudden, the person realizes, I came with the wrong motive. I should have come seeking Jesus.
I was saying,
that person's heart is tender now.
I'm here to tell us this
evening that there is nobody who cannot be saved. It doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter where the person is coming from. Even if the person came with the wrong motive, by the grace of God and by the power of God in this place, that person's heart can be saved. Because of that, Jesus never gave up on anybody.
Yes, Christo, na be mo muda.
He never said it's too late for somebody. The woman he met at the well, he didn't say you are too bad to be saved. He didn't say you are too late. With her five husbands, and her present boyfriend, she could still be saved. The thief on the cross, last minute, Jesus didn't look at him and say, it's too late for you. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I'm bringing a reminder to us tonight that there is nobody who cannot be saved. It is not too late for anybody. Let us search for the people who need to be saved and share the gospel with them. The gospel is good news. It is too good a news for it not to be told.
Climbed up to the highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody.
God bless you for listening to the word of God this morning. If you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to pray with me and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Pray after me. Say, Heavenly Father, today I surrender my life to you. I confess that you are my Lord and Savior. I confess that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and personal Savior. I will serve you for the rest of the days of my life. Amen. If you pray this prayer with me, God bless you. Come and visit us and you will be blessed. Or go to any Bible-believing church where you can hear the word of God and grow. God bless you.
Nobody greater than you.
This program is sponsored by the friends and partners of the Word of His Grace,
Esipoche Ventures,
and Tegas Cakes.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it? Welcome to Tegas Cakes. We believe in the most quality and attractive cakes for every occasion. So are you looking for a cake for your wedding, birthday, Valentine, or even your bachelorette party? Then come to Tegas Cake, where we would custom make that cake for you. We also have our special velvet cupcakes, vanilla cakes, brownies, marble cakes, and so much more. So if it's anything cake, come to Tegas Cakes. Call us on 0249-197272 or locate us behind the Kent City Hostel, Kenton Cromwell and Senior. Visit us at www.tegascake.com. Tegas Cake. You order, we deliver.
I'm blessed. I'm so blessed.
Do you need any surgical instrument, theater equipment, medical and surgical disposables? Are you battling with unpleasant body scars, stretch marks, wrinkles and the likes? No need to worry. Esipoche Ventures is the right place for you. We have latex and latex-free disposable and surgical gloves, syringes and needles, weighing scales, sphygmomanometers, skin staples and removers, mesh for hernia repair, thermometers, and so much more. Call or WhatsApp AC Boche Ventures on 0246-323260, 0246-323260, or 0205-548550, 0205-548550 for all your surgical and medical equipment and disposals. AC Boche Ventures, the world at your doorstep.
We trust that you've been blessed as you listen to the Word of His Grace by Reverend and Reverend Mrs. Reginald and Rita Adanuvo. You can locate Green Pastures Ministries at the conference hall of the new site of
Najee's Angels Educational Center,
Santasi in Yinam Estate.
Our meeting times are as follows: Tuesday Word Encounter Service, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Friday Zonal Cell Meetings, 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Sunday Celebration Service, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Kindly follow and subscribe to any of our social media platforms: Facebook, Green Pastures Ministries Ghana; YouTube, GPM Ghana TV; Instagram, Green Pastures Ministries; Twitter, at GPM_2015. You can also join our Sunday service via live stream on Facebook and on YouTube.
For further inquiries, please contact us on 03220-85537 or 0242-032997. Thank you for listening. God richly bless you. We can't look to your Lord, I pray.